Namene Padre, ci vedi in Spiritu Sancti. Amen. So does anybody know who Saint Bruno is? Saint Bruno, you know, a couple people. He's not the most famous of saints, right, as we'll find out. He was the founder of the Carthusians. Everybody know what the Carthusians are? Yes, everybody knows the Carthusians. People think the Carthusians take a vow of silence. They don't, but they're a very contemplative order. That's the Carthusians. If anyone remembers that movie, the Into Great Silence, came out a few years ago. That was the Grand Abbey at Chartreuse, the area in the French Alps. But I get ahead of myself. So St. Bruno, a teacher, abbot, founder of the Carthusians, was born in the year 1030 in Cologne, Belgium. He was born to, I think not much is known of his early childhood, but he studied in Reims, France. There was a school there. He got a degree in philosophy, theology, and then he was in his mid-20s. He returned to Cologne and was ordained a priest. But he must have left quite an impression on his teachers, and especially the bishop back in France, because just 1 year after having left his school, the bishop called him back and wanted him to be the headmaster. And so he did. And he did this very well in this capacity. So he was the headmaster of the school, and then eventually every educational institution in the Diocese of Reims, France, St. Bruno was in charge of it. He was overseeing everything. So very, very capable administrator, very good scholar. So he did this again for about 20 years, and when then his good friend the bishop died, and the next bishop who was installed after him was completely corrupt. One of those aristocracy, members of the aristocracy, and he was in it for power, for money, for whatever it could be. So it was so obvious that after 2 years of this corrupt bishop, St. Bruno and a number of other concerned clergy members of the diocese succeeded in convening a council at which it was decreed that the bishop was suspended. So the bishop responds by suspending his accusers. He seizes their property and, it says, in typical 11th century fashion, pulled down their houses. I don't know what that means, but I guess he was rather violent. So the faithful responded in typical 11th century fashion by rioting. So the faithful rioted, the bishop was suspended, and so eventually he gave up and he left the city. This went on for 2 years, but the bishop eventually again was, the bishop tried to appeal to Rome even, but he was suspended and replaced. Now, St. Bruno was the prime candidate to be made the next bishop. But he had had enough of church politics, and in fact, he had taken a vow sometime earlier to renounce secular concerns. And so he left the city, left the politics, and went into the French mountains to seek solitude. He had a number, I think two other companions. So he met up, he stayed with Robert of Molem, and a different group of hermits for a while, but then they parted ways, and St. Bruno went to the Bishop of Grenoble. Now, Robert of Molem's, with whom he stayed with for a little while, Robert of Molem would end up founding a place called Citeaux, and that would become the Cistercians. And then Bruno went to Grenoble, and he founded the Carthusians. So I want us to keep those two orders separate, right? The Carthusians and the Cistercians. They're both French orders founded there in France. The Cistercians, these follow the rule of Saint Benedict. And they were founded in large part by Bernard of Clairvaux, right? He was instrumental in not the founding of the Cistercians, but in making it popular. So the Cistercians are Benedictines, and they live in community. And St. Bruno founded the Carthusians, and they're not Benedictines. The Carthusians are their own order, and they have an interesting thing. So Bruno was invited, as I said, by the Bishop of Grenoble to this deserted, unhospitable place in the Alps, and it was called Chartreuse. Chartreuse is the area, and the Carthusians are named after that area. And yes, I'll talk about that liqueur later. That's where it's from. But he founded the first of what would become the Carthusian monasteries, and the monks live in individual cells. And each monk has a table, a kneeler, an image of the Blessed Virgin, a desk, writing materials, a Bible, and a little wood stove, right? And even a little area for a garden. And these monks, they live in these cells. They don't live in community. So these monks, they are given their food twice. They have two meals a day, and they have a little turn in their cell. And you put the food in the turn, and then the monk turns it, and then he sits there and he eats by himself. So this is the Carthusians are not. They live and they have all these cells individually, all lined up. If you see the grand cathedral of Chartreuse, all these individual cells are lined up. The monks come out three times a day for prayer and holy mass, and they go back into their cell. They come out once a week for community recreation, and they go back into their cell. And they come out once per year, and they can visit with family members and so on. But this is that's how they live. So they're not any other order. Not Benedictines. They're not Dominicans. They have their own rule, and that is the Carthusians, founded by Saint Bruno. They have an interesting motto. The motto of the Carthusians is "Stat crux, dum volvitur orbis," which means "the cross is steady as the world turns." Right? The world goes through revolutions. The world is always moving, but the cross, our Lord, stays the same. So these monks, St. Bruno founded this, and 700 years later, that's when they started making their chartreuse, that liqueur. And it's the only liquor to be also called a color. Like chartreuse is a recognized color named after the liquor. And that was a digestive. It was made from like 130 different herbs all around the area. And this is an area, Chartreuse, it's beautiful now, but when they got there, St. Bruno chose it because it was inhospitable. It was desert, it was dry, it wasn't much there. This is what the monks always have done, right? They come in here to this inhospitable, unfriendly place, and 700 years later, it's a garden. Right? That's what these men would do all over Europe. That's part of how Europe got founded, was monasteries just like this, it was like this voluntary terraforming effort over hundreds of years. So St. Bruno founds this this first place, Chartreuse, but only stayed there for about 8 years. Because unfortunately for him, one of his previous students at Reims had become the Pope and was in rather difficult circumstances. Emperor Henry IV was Urban II was the Pope, and there was contention between the Pope and the Roman Emperor, and there was an anti-Pope, so a lot of trouble was being stirred up in Rome. So Pope Urban calls on his former teacher to come down. And so this is the last thing that St. Bruno wants to do, but he's obedient, and he goes to Rome. And he's only there, not even a year, when he and the Pope have to flee Rome because the emperor is coming with an army and the anti-Pope, whom he's going to install. So St. Bruno flees to Spain, and spends there the rest of his life assisting the Pope. It wasn't what he wanted to do. He wanted to be cloistered. He wanted to be left alone. But he was called back into all these secular affairs, which he'd taken a vow to leave behind, right, as far as he was able. But of course, when the Pope says, "I dispense you from your vow," I mean, what can you do? So he eventually, there in Spain, he was able to found a kind of a hermitage with a few other monks in a nearby woods in Calabria, Spain. And so we founded the second Carthusian order there, which was successful. But again, Pope Urban died maybe after a number of years, and then St. Bruno would die shortly thereafter. He wrote a letter, too, to his monks in France. He was very earnestly wanted to go back to France, to his original monastery, but he never was able to. He ended up dying there in Spain, outside of his homeland of France, or where he had founded his first monastery. So a cross, right? A difficult burden that God asked him to bear, but that's what we give our lives to, right? Is that when God asks of something, we do it. And so St. Bruno, after he died, he never actually got formally canonized. Like, he never went through a canonization process. The Carthusians were given permission to celebrate a feast day for him, and that became so popular in France that eventually permission to celebrate the feast was extended to the entire church. So he's a saint just by popular acclaim, you could say. In fact, they have this interesting custom. There was an individual called a roll bearer. He'd have a scroll that was rolled up. He would hang it around his neck, a big scroll, and he would go around to all these towns and villages where the saint had been, and people would write in the scroll what he had done for them. So this is a custom. And I guess there's many of these scrolls which are available, but St. Bruno's has effulsive praise from all these people that he had assisted throughout his life. So I would say that would be a testament why he would have that universal acclaim of being a saint. As I mentioned, you know, a difficult task God asked of St. Bruno is to want to retire from the world, to want to be left alone and in peace, but God kept calling him back out, right, to teach or to assist the Pope, to become involved in politics, which he did not want to do. And he was generous, right, generous in doing that. And, you know, he wanted to be, he founded that order that he wasn't really able to enjoy himself. And very often, you know, that's a vocation that parents are very familiar with, is they spend their lives for other people, right? St. Bruno wanted to live in silence. He wanted to live cloistered, and he wasn't able to, but other people did. How many centuries of men and women were able to find their vocation because St. Bruno gave it to them? He founded it for them, right? And how many parents, right, you give your time and your energy and your effort to your kids, and it's not benefiting you, it's benefiting them. But then I'm sure as St. Bruno now realizes, and as parents you'll realize, it does benefit you, right? Sacrifice does benefit us. When we give away to others and we sacrifice, even if we don't feel like we're enjoying the fruits of our labor, well, God will see to it. God will see to it that we have a reward. And what a glory, what an honor for St. Bruno, right? Every single time a Carthusian goes up there to heaven and says, thank you. Thank you for giving me my vocation. Thank you for following the will of God and creating this order. Right, and how many children are going to come up to you, parents, right? Not just your children, but their children, and theirs, and theirs, and theirs, and they're going to say, thank you for being a great mom to my, you know, great-great-grandfather, whatever. Right? We're going to have a part in that. We all are going to have a part in that. And not just that, anybody, right? I mean, maybe one day when I'm in heaven, God willing, you know, some people will come up and be like, Father, thank you for being such a great priest. You were wonderful and fantastic. And yeah. I'm like, oh, it was nothing, right? But think about that, right? We get so bogged down in how difficult things are here, and I don't want to be here, I don't want to do this, if I could just get rid of my kids, or my husband, or my wife, or whatever, my parish, whatever it is. Don't get bogged down in that, right? Think about the long term, right? Think about the Feast of the Sacred Heart, where it says, the thoughts of the Lord are from generation to those who fear him. We can learn something from that. We can learn something. Even though we might be frustrated right now, think about the generations to come. How did we get the faith? It was because some people before us kept it. They kept it through wars and famines and crises in the church, and they kept that faith, and they taught their children, and their children taught us, and now we have it. And so let's do that for other people who are coming after us, right? Let's, fine, forget about ourselves. We're going to do this for those future generations and pass on the faith, right? We can do that with the example of St. Bruno. You know, living in silence as much as we can, being involved when God asks us to, but keeping in mind, you know, not for self, but for God and for others. So God bless you all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.